God's people, let's turn in God's Word now to Genesis and chapter 44. Genesis 44, which we'll be hearing God's Word. Genesis 44 and verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. Genesis 44, verse 1. These are the words of God, so let's give our attention to them. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sack with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? What, ye have ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto my servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Those are God's words. The last chapter ended with a feast set before Joseph and his brothers and Joseph's servants. And now as that time has ended, he fills their sacks with food and money and Joseph's silver cup and Benjamin's sack, and they were sent away. And this he all did to humble them further, to see what their love for Benjamin was like, his very own brother, when he is found to have, quote-unquote, stolen the silver cup of Joseph. Would they repent? Would they see their sin that they had done, first off, all the way back to Joseph, who now stands as their master? Would they repent of that and see what they have done and what has come upon them because of the evil they had done? And we see Judah put himself forward at the very end of the chapter. He puts himself forward to Joseph as surety. As surety, that means in place of Benjamin. So that Benjamin could return home and not be the slave. And Judah would take his place and be the slave, lest his father die. And that's how the passage ends. Of course, the chapters go on, and we'll see that in the weeks to come. But Judah, think of Judah from which Jesus Christ came. If we go into genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew or Luke, we'll see that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. And he here points us to our Lord and Savior. Judah here acts as surety, seeking to take the place of Benjamin so Benjamin could be saved from slavery. Judah wasn't found guilty of anything in taking Joseph's cup. Benjamin was. But Judah seeks to take his place and pay the debt so Benjamin can be set free. This is what Jesus did for us. Jesus is our surety. Who believe on Him for their salvation, Jesus took upon Himself the guilt of your sin. You're a sinner. Everybody here is a sinner. If you believe on Jesus Christ, He stood in your place. He took your sin. He took your condemnation, the guilt of your sin. And He atoned for that sin, that you would be saved from the eternal punishment of our God. He took the eternal punishment. He took your place there on the cross, the eternal punishment, the unmitigated wrath of God. And how could that be eternal punishment? Because He was not just man, but the God-man. And so He could eternally take the eternal punishment there at the cross. So Jesus is our surety, takes our place. And therefore He is our Savior. And so the question, of course, to all of us here today is He your surety? Is He your surety and is He your Savior? Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the types and shadows and pictures in the Old Testament that continually point us to Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Gospel, even here, even through a wicked servant of Judah who took part in throwing Joseph into the pit and then with his brothers selling him into slavery, in which he was sent off to Egypt. And yet You still use the wicked. You still use the sinners whom You save even. Sinners, weak instruments, even as all of us here are, who are your children, weak as we are, you still use us in the kingdom of God. You still show your strength through our weakness. Your grace, though we sin. And Father, we're thankful that you continue your work here on earth, that many, many more people will come unto you and be saved. We know that many, many more people will come. All of your elect will be brought in to the house before the banqueting table. And you'll shower them with your love. We are thankful that you have seen fit to make us part of the bride of Christ. And that we have a wonderful bridegroom, Jesus Christ, your Son, who eternally loves us, just as God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has eternally loved us. And so we come with great joy today to worship you for this great love you've shown to us. Father, we pray any here who do not know you might know your word, might even be able to tell people what the gospel is. If any here who don't know you, who don't love you, who don't hate their sin and love righteousness, who continue in their sin that grace may abound, who are in darkness, we pray that you would shine upon them your marvelous light, shower them with your saving grace, and turn them by your Holy Spirit, give them new desires, turn them to you, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to bow the knee to Christ who sits on the throne, and that we would all do that in our submission unto Him. For He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler of rulers, God of gods. And our Savior. We're thankful that He lives to make intercession for us, your people. That He stands before you. And you look, Father, upon Him and you see, as you look at us, you see His righteousness. As we worship you, as we pray to you, as we call out to you, we are thankful your Son perfects our prayers, perfects our worship, and you receive our worship, you receive our prayers, you receive us for the sake of Jesus Christ your Son and only for His sake, for your glory, and by His righteousness. We ask today you would bless your people throughout the world. Those who are being persecuted, lift them up and keep them. Cause them not to fall. And when they do, that you'd pick them back up and protect them. Be their shield. Be our shield from sin and slavery to sin. Turn us from that slavery and clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. And that we would put to death those dead works that only lead to destruction, and put on the good works for your glory. Pray that you would sanctify your church. Cleanse us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray also for our nation. Our nation which continues to turn from you and has been turning from you. We ask that you would turn them to yourself. That our rulers, authorities would bend the knee, bow the knee, and submit to Christ and covenant with Him and profess faith in Him and rule according to your word, all of your commandments, not just some of them, but all of them, for your glory and for your praise. That the idols of this nation would be destroyed and consumed with your eternal fire, and that you would be exalted. Father, we do pray and ask for your help today. We ask that you'd be with Dave's mother, Libby. We ask that you would help her to eat and drink. That her stomach would be fed, but even more importantly, that she'd be fed with the Word of God, the very bread of life. Pray that you'd give her ears to hear your worship of some of your saints here on earth, that as they gather with us and with the assembly in glory, pray that you would come for her and strengthen her by your Spirit. Further, Father, we ask that you would be with Melissa and the baby in her womb. We ask that you would grow that child well. And as we pray for all of our children, even all of our children here today, that they would not know one moment longer apart from salvation in Christ your Son. Father, we pray that for everybody here, not just our children, that this would be the day of salvation. We know your mercies are new every morning. May this be this day of salvation that you exalt, and we could exalt in your mercy and your grace over the one sinner who repents and turns to your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for healing. Those who are not feeling well, we pray for Patty and Dina. And continue to pray for Adasa. Ask that you would heal your people, even your covenant children who are not well. Pray that you give them strength and energy and clarity of mind. And for Adasa, we ask that you would grant to her strength in her muscles, her bones, her brain, her heart, her lungs, and everything of her body. Pray that you would strengthen her to serve you, and that her life would be to your praise, as we pray for all of our lives, that all of our lives would be unto your glory. Even though we are weak, we know you are strong, and you're the God who heals, because you're the God who is the healer. So heal your people, and be a comfort to us in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.